Okay, thanks. You guys can have a seat. Let me get situated here. Okay, so how many of you were at the conference yesterday? Okay, so we talked, the whole conference was on power and authority. And I was asking the Lord what he wanted to talk about this morning. And I really felt that he was just wanting to talk about establishing authority in your life. So yesterday I talked on establishing it in the prophetic. And today we're going to talk about establishing a realm of authority in your own life. And I know each one of you probably has a situation in your life that you don't feel you have victory in. I'm pretty sure that's we're not in heaven yet. So I'm pretty sure there's an area that we would like to have victory in our own life. So I'm going to be talking about establishing authority and what that looks like and giving you guys some practical keys on how you can establish a realm of authority in your own life. So I just want to pray as we get started. Lord, we just thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for each and every family represented here. And Lord, we thank you for your presence that's already here. But Lord, we ask for the spirit of revelation and wisdom to flow throughout this room. Lord, that you would illuminate in the hearts and minds of the people here just exactly what you want them to understand today. And Lord, we give your spirit permission to move however you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, for those of you that don't know Global Awakening, that is Dr. Randy Clark. We have the privilege of being with Randy or around Randy and serving the ministry on a regular basis. So it's just been a fun journey of learning with the Lord over the last many years. And a few years ago, one of the connections that Global has is with a ministry out of Arizona. And I was down there for a leaders conference. And I was just sitting there learning, and one of the speakers was talking about just walking into miracles. And I was like, I'm at Global Awakening. We see miracles all the time. But it started talking, he started talking about really what does it look like to step into that place of the miraculous in areas of your life. And as I was sitting there listening to him share, the Lord actually gave me a vision. And I was in the back of the room, and I had a vision of the city of Jericho in the Bible. And I was sitting there looking at it in the spirit, and I just saw a ring of fire around the outside of the walls, and they were still standing. And I was like, okay, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? And over the last couple of years, the Lord has really showed me that that vision actually was how to establish a realm of authority around a stronghold in your life. And that ring of fire was the anointing of the Lord as the children of Israel went around the walls because they believed for breakthrough. And there are situations in each of our lives that we're believing for breakthrough. And, oh, yes, the ring of fire. Yay. I don't have the walls of Jericho in there, but in the spirit, I actually saw just like a ring of fire everywhere their feet went around the walls of Jericho. So we're going to be in the book of Joshua. So if you don't have your Bible, I want you to pull up on your phone here in a minute. Joshua 1, 2 through 5. So as you're wanting to establish a realm of authority in a particular area of your life, I'm going to give you some points on what you need to do to see breakthrough and victory. And we're going to go through about 6 points on what that looks like. The first one is to find a promise. So what does it look like to find a promise in the area you're believing for a breakthrough? Maybe it's for family. Maybe it's for finances. Maybe it's for a new job. For this church, it's for a building. And as I was sitting in worship, I really felt to challenge you guys that as your pastors are believing for a building, it's actually a collective group that needs to come together to stand in agreement for a building. Because as the children of Israel walked around the walls of Jericho, and I'm going to use this podium, but as they walked around, they were in a unity and agreement as they walked together. And your pastors, their job is not to do this alone. Your job is to come alongside of them in faith, to walk with them on standing for the breakthrough for a new building. Because the children of Israel, when they sent the men to walk around the building, they had to believe what the word of the Lord was for them. They had to come into agreement by faith what the Lord was saying for the victory. And he said, go out, walk around the walls of the city for 6 days, and on the seventh day, walk around it 7 times. So they had to be in agreement with the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord for this church is that you need more space. You need to grow. We had the privilege of praying with your pastors last night, and one of the words was that this church, this ministry is getting ready to come into a broad place. That means they need more space. So in order to do that, you as a congregation get to stand together for the word of the Lord that says you're coming into a broad space where you need more space. So then you get to walk around that by faith and establish it in the spirit, even when you haven't seen the walls fall down yet. And that's the corporate anointing of what happened with the children of Israel. It wasn't Joshua and the priests out there walking around the walls of Jericho. It was everyone in agreement. Every family was represented as they walked around the walls of Jericho. So I'm going to read Joshua 1, 2 through 5. Go ahead, have it up there. Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given you. And he goes on to say all the places that he'll give them. So the first point is to find a promise. And the promise that the children of Israel had was wherever you set your foot, well, you will be on the land I have given you. I shared some stories this at the conference for different areas that I stood in faith for. You know, there's an area of healing in my life that I haven't seen manifest yet. But I had a prophetic word from someone this last November that the Lord has promised you healing and you're going to see it. So I'm like, okay. So every time I have a situation in this area of healing that I haven't seen breakthrough, I'm like, Lord, I thank you that your word says that I will see healing in this area of my life. And I'm creating a ring of fire in the spirit, establishing by faith what the Lord has already said, because I now have a promise. The scripture gives you promises for whatever situation you're facing. We talked just a little bit about family. For a long time, my mom would pray for my brother and I. I have a lot of interesting stories from growing up. My brother was in and out of jail, kicked out of college. I got kicked out of high school. I have lots of interesting stories. And my mother, every morning, would get up and pray that the plans for our lives would stand for her children, that we would walk with the Lord every day of our lives, that every hidden thing and secret that we were hiding would be revealed, that we would rise up and call her blessed. You get the picture. It doesn't matter that she didn't see it for a number of years. It was the establishing the realm in this spirit, and you can only do that by faith. So how do we build our faith? We take a promise. We stand on it. We declare the promise of the Lord, and we act on it. That's what the children of Israel did. They acted on it. So we find a promise. The second point is we take his presence with us. We don't do this outside of what he said. We don't do this outside of the move of the Lord. In Joshua 3:13, the priests will carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream and the river will stand up like a wall. Wherever the presence of the ark went with the priest, the manifestation of the power of God came. So wherever you go, that there is the presence of the Lord, the manifestation of his power will come. You know, in the verse, 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You carry the presence of the Lord. So only go where the presence of the Lord is leading you. Wherever he's leading you, that's where you go, but that's where the power is. And I know there's situations where we have seen people do things and they don't understand why there was no blessing on it. And it's like, well, the presence of the Lord didn't go with you. The Israelites went where the presence of the Lord was. And so in your life, ask the Lord to just show you, have I gotten out ahead of you in anything? Have I taken a promise and run with it, but I haven't gone where the presence has led? we're around ministry school students all the time, and they'll get a word from the Lord and they're like, I'm starting a ministry now. And we're like, well, probably shouldn't you finish maybe the second year, and shouldn't you get a group of intercessors, and shouldn't you have, you know, a plan and some support? No, I have a word from the Lord. It's like, yes, they have a promise, but the presence has not gone with them yet. So it's very, very important in this journey that you actually have a promise and you have the presence. And when you have the presence of the Lord, you can go wherever he leads you. But if you have a promise and you haven't seen the provision in the way of the Lord, you haven't seen the presence move, what you continue to do is you continue to walk around the situation with the promise until the presence leads you somewhere. And in this instance, it led them into the river, and they saw the miraculous hand of God. They walked across on dry land, and they saw the river stand up on its, and it was in flood stages. It was, I mean, the water was coming. And I can only think that, you know, they got to see all the fish and all the stuff that was standing on the wall of water. And it was the miraculous hand of the Lord. I want to highlight in 1 Chronicles 13, 14, it's the story of Obed-Edom. And you guys may know the story when David was bringing the ark back and the man died that tried to reach out and touch it. So they brought the ark to the house of Obed-Edom. And it says in 1 Chronicles 13, 14, so David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but he carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom in all that he had. When the presence goes with you, you will be blessed. You will know it. You know, you don't have to wonder if God's with you. You will know it. There'll be provision. There'll be favor. There'll be open doors. That doesn't mean that there won't be obstacles, but you will know that the presence is with you because what you have in this particular situation that you're stepping out of in faith will be blessed. You will know it. So I talked a little bit about don't get ahead of the presence. Once David became king, he would stop and inquire of the Lord, do you want me to go out to war with these people? And God would tell him, yes, go out to war. I will give you victory. Then he'd inquire of the Lord again. And the Lord would tell him, no, don't go out against them. Encircle around about them. Wait until you hear the sound and the mulberry trees. I mean, is that something that you would think for victory against an army? Wait until you circle around about and wait till you hear the mulberry trees? No. But that's where we don't go without the presence and we seek the Lord for the next steps. So we have a promise and we go where the presence goes. The third point is resist giving up and resist giving into temptation. In Joshua 3:17, it says, then the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over. I can only imagine how heavy the ark was. And you've got, okay, whether it's 600,000 or 3 million, you got a lot of people walking by. And they stood firm in the middle of the river, in the middle of the presence of God, until everyone crossed over, until they saw full and complete in completion in that situation. And as believers, we're like, oh, I haven't seen it fully come to pass yet, so I'm going to quit. I don't need to stand firm. God's already moving. I'm sure he has this. But it's our job to stand firm in the middle of the breakthrough, because they're on the way to the breakthrough. They're on the way to the promised land. They're standing on a promise. They're believing to see it fulfilled. They're on the way. So there are things that we have to do. The promise is in partnership with heaven. The promise is due to faith. And there are maybe some things that you have not stood firm on yet on the way to your promise. A small thing is quiet time. Has the Lord been telling you to get up and seek him early? Then stand firm and do it. It doesn't mean that the presence isn't heavy. It doesn't mean you're not holding that ark and standing in the middle waiting for 3 million people to walk by you. Your job is to stand firm in the middle of your quiet time. Maybe it's a situation where someone has wronged you and you've had the privilege of extending forgiveness. Do you only extend it once? No. Every time you see them, I'm like, Lord, I thank you for softening my heart. And I thank you for giving me your love for them. There was a situation where someone drastically wronged me. And I'm a little feisty. So every time I saw this person, I just wanted to throat punch him. I was like, oh. So I started praying. I said, Lord, soften my heart. Let me see them the way you see them. And so I prayed that for 4 straight months. And I walked into a meeting where they were sitting. It was a whole leaders meeting. And as I sat there, I looked at the person, and I mean, this anger came, this rebellion, this hatred for everyone in the room. And it was so bad. The youth pastor looks at me and goes, he called me Mama Kay. He said, Mama Kay, are you all right? I'm like, uh-huh. The senior pastor, who was not spirit-filled, is like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm good. I'm good. This goes on for 5 days. I leave this meeting. I want to just hate everybody I see. And so my mentor comes up to me. She says, Catherine, are you all right? I was like, this thing descended on me, and I don't know what it is. She said, well, let's get into intercession and ask the Lord. So we get into intercession, and I'm like, I can't even pray. I can't even seek the presence. I'm so angry. I don't want anything to do with God. I want to do anything and everything rebellious. I hate myself. I mean, it was bad. So 5th day, we're praying, and she goes, do you think the Lord is allowing you to see what this person walks in? As soon as she said that, it instantly lifted off me, and I just started weeping with compassion for this person. And I was like, oh, I've been asking the Lord to give me his heart for them. He just let me see what they walked in for 5 days, and I was absolutely miserable. And I'm like, all forgiveness. I'm like, boom, I forgive her. Lord, whatever. Like, Lord. And I just started able to intercede for her and pray for her and have such a grace. Are you willing to stand firm in an area of forgiveness? Are you willing to just allow the Lord wherever it takes, however long I have to stand in the middle of this river? I will do it because I want to see victory in the area of forgiveness. Maybe a family member has wronged you. Maybe you were passed over for a promotion. Whatever that place of forgiveness is. You know, and forgiveness from that point on, we all have to work at it, but it has been so much easier to ask the Lord to see their heart in a situation. And he's given me such compassion to be able to do that. So it could be in an area of forgiveness. Maybe it's a small thing that you need to stand firm in. For me, the Lord asked me about probably 8 or 9 years ago to give up coffee. And I was like, I like coffee. It makes me feel warm in the morning. It's my comfort. And the Lord had asked me to give it up. So I did, off and on for about 3 years. And I was in quiet time one morning. And I just had an argument with the Lord. I said, Lord, I think this is ridiculous. Why do I have to give up coffee? I like it. And I flipped on a message on YouTube from a pastor I like. And he said, you know, he's preaching along. And he said, some of you need to give up coffee. I was like, he's not even talking about coffee in his message. And he goes, and you're wondering why? Well, there's frequency levels in your body. And he goes, every time you drink coffee, it lowers the frequency. The lower the frequency in your body, the closer you are to sickness, the lower it gets. And he goes, every cup of coffee lowers your frequency about 5 points. And he goes, science will show you this. And I was like, okay, Lord, thank you. But why did I not just the first time the Lord said, give it up, trust that he had a reason? And so I get to stand firm in that. I don't drink regular coffee. I don't drink caffeine of any kind. That's my personal conviction. I'm not telling you to do it. But I'm saying to stand firm on the little things, whether it's getting up and praying, whether it's reading the word more, maybe it's getting off your phone before you go to bed and actually just getting in scripture for half an hour before you go to bed. Whatever he's put on your heart, Stand firm in that, whether it makes sense to you or not. So we find a promise. We bring his presence with us. We don't give up. And the fourth point is we have memory stones to remember what God has already done. Because this helps you know that he is faithful. We know that in our head, but sometimes we need that reminder in our heart. Okay, so in Joshua 4, 6 and 7, it says that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. So memory stones for you are a memorial to you, your family line, forever. Not just in the situation, not just in the circumstance, not just, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, I appreciate this. It was wonderful. I bless you for coming through. Find a place to write it down. I just ordered, I don't know, do you guys have Amazon in the UK? Okay. So, I was in South Africa and they didn't have it. So they do now. They got it this year. But Amazon has a little journal. It's called the 5-year journal. And it just has a date. And it'll have like today's date, March 17th. And I'll have the year. And you can write down one sentence from that day. And that's the place I'm writing my memorial stones. So I don't have to go back through pages of journaling with the Lord in the morning. But I can go to that line and say, oh, that's the first time I got to go to the UK. This is the first time I saw the Lord provide in this area. This is the first time I got to see somebody healed of this, whatever particular medical condition. Those are quick places you can go back, and it's called the 5-year journal. It's just one-liners. It's amazing. But we have to be diligent to keep memory stones out in front of us. They actually would build a whole, you know, stack of stones. We can do it in a journal. We can do it in a reminder on our phone because it builds faith. And it keeps you in a place of gratitude for what God has already done. Instead of, God, you never show up. When are you going to come through on this? When are you going to provide? When are you going to give me an answer? When are we going to get a building? When? No. Lord, I thank you for the things that you have done. I thank you for the provision of this. I thank you for the provision of, you know, whatever it could be. And in your situation, you need to just sit down with the Lord and come up with some things that are memory stones. So when you establish a ring of authority in an area of your life, what does that look like practically? So I'm sitting over there in worship, listening to Joe and Lauren, and sometimes it's harder to get into worship than others. Today, the presence of the Lord was here. Chris saw the river. I mean, you could just feel it. It was amazing. But there are times when I get up in the morning and it's tough to get into that place of worship. So it doesn't mean I quit because I don't feel like, no. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that your presence is here this morning. I thank you that you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. And I'm going to keep at it. I'm going to keep thanking him for what he has done. Lord, I thank you for that time you showed up in my time of worship with you and gave me the revelation on this. I thank you for who you are as all-sufficient God and King. I thank and go into that posture of thankfulness in a place that you're trying to establish a realm of authority. You know, another area to establish a realm of authority would be in healing. Well, we want to see people healed, but will you step out and pray for people when you don't see it happen? If you get that picture of the fire back up there. So if you think about praying for someone in healing and you think about it like, okay, well, they walked around the walls for 6 days. Maybe I'm only on my first lap around in the area of healing, but am I going to stop there or am I going to keep going around until I see the manifestation of the walls fall down? How many of you know Todd White? Okay, so he's a minister in the States. He's an evangelist, and he has an amazing anointing to just minister to people on the street in healing. Well, he had prayed for over 700 people and had never seen any of them healed. He comes to a Randy Clark meeting. He gets prayed for for impartation and leaves. Prays for someone in the lobby, doesn't see any result that he knew of, and left. Well, what was funny was that person in the lobby was the first person that ever got healed when he prayed that he knew of. It ended up being one of our staff members' mothers. But my point is now that he prayed. He didn't stop with 50 that didn't get healed. He didn't stop with 100 or 200 or 300 or 400. But what he did was he continued to go around it because he knew it was a promise in the Word of God. He knew by faith he wanted to lay hold of the promise that that God was going to heal people. So he kept walking around it until he saw the walls in the area of healing fall down. Are you willing to walk around the thing you want to see victory in until the walls fall down? Because if it's a promise in the Word, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we will see victory in an area if God has promised it. You just have to stand firm. And it can be in any area. It can be in prophetic words of knowledge. You just keep giving out words of knowledge until you get one right. You might be wrong 700 times, but are you willing to do it? Are you willing to look like a fool 699 times? And that really is what it has to do with, are we willing to press in to prove that he is faithful? Or does it have to do with us? Like, I haven't seen results yet. I haven't seen fruit. I haven't seen breakthrough. Versus, Lord, you are faithful. You will bring breakthrough. And you are the one that has promised. So in the next point that I want to just go over. So we've covered about finding a promise. Let his presence go with you. Resist giving up. And the memory stones. Just the memorial of what he's already done. This next one is consecrate yourself. So in Joshua 3:5, it says, "And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders." This is right before they crossed the Jordan. And right before they went in to take Jericho, and I'm glad this doesn't apply to you guys, but in Joshua 5, he had them all circumcise everybody that had been born in the wilderness. Next Sunday, we're covering that. It's just going to be women next week. But there was two times the Lord called for them to consecrate themselves. Is there an area of your life that you need to consecrate or dedicate to a divine purpose? What do you need to lay down before the Lord? What do you need to do business with the Lord on? Is there something that, you know, for me, for a couple of years, it was coffee. I'd go back on, back off. And I'm like, Lord, I just want to consecrate my heart before you. Whatever, just cut away the things that are a distraction. You know, a while back, the Lord got into me about my phone. Because at night, I would just scroll through, answer emails, do whatever I needed to once I got the kids in bed. And the Lord's like, just leave it downstairs. But I like to listen to music in the morning when I'm getting ready. And it's my alarm. Well, I bought an alarm clock and I have that next to my bed and my phone stays plugged in because I want to consecrate my heart from any distraction. So whatever may be a distraction for you, the Holy Spirit's putting on your mind right now, I think that it's a good opportunity to consecrate because we are not asking you guys to be circumcised, just merely obeying whatever little thing he's asking you to lay aside. So use wisdom. In Joshua 2:1, these are all points just out of the story of such a phenomenal story of breakthrough through the children of Israel. But in Joshua 2:1, it says, "Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from the acacia grove to spy secretly, saying, 'Go, view the land, especially Jericho.'" They were to gather information and get a battle plan ready. You know, I talked a little bit earlier about ministry school students wanting to just go out and start a ministry. But be wise as you stand and believe for a breakthrough with your family. What does that look like once breakthrough comes? What does it look like if you have a wayward child and they meet the Lord and they want to come back and live with you? Have a plan. Like, okay, yeah, we can make that happen. Or if you are believing for a breakthrough in your job and an area where you can take care of your family and do all of these things that are on your list to do, but it requires moving. What does that look like for you to get ready? And so have a plan. Spy out the things that are maybe in accordance with the vision, the plan, and the purpose that God has for you in the next season, the promise. What does that look like to really give wholeheartedly to the promise? You know, for my husband and I had started praying and fasting at the first of the year. We moved to Pennsylvania for ministry school in August, and I had started in January praying and fasting every Wednesday for the God's direction for our family. Well, I knew it had to do with moving. I didn't know where it was in the United States, but I knew it had to do with moving. I felt that it was to Pennsylvania, but I also didn't want to be that wife. It's like, this is where we're going. This is what we're doing. And so I told him, I said, I'll move wherever you want me to move. Just don't move me to the Middle East. And as a woman, I didn't want to go there. And so I started praying and fasting every Wednesday, but I also started packing. I packed over 500 boxes of stuff. Preparation. I mean, I had to close a business. I sold off equipment. There was preparation in the process, and I still didn't know where we were going. I knew what the promise looked like. I knew it was coming because I could see the timing of the Lord. So I started packing boxes. I started wrapping up stuff. I started closing out accounts that I needed to. I started doing everything I knew in preparation for the breakthrough. Are you doing what you know to do in preparation for the breakthrough that you're believing for? If you're believing for a child and you have a promise of the Lord, well, get ready. Start reading books on babies. Start getting, you know, if you're waiting for a husband, what does that look like? You're not going to magically have a bunch of recipes to cook for him when you get married. Start practicing now. If you don't know how to iron and you're believing for a professional man that's going to need slacks ironed, well, learn how to iron. I'm just talking about the practical stuff on the promise that you're believing for. I don't iron, by the way, but that's a whole nother thing. Okay. Because the Bible tells us in Matthew 10:16, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. There's wisdom that comes following the Holy Spirit. Practical wisdom, kingdom wisdom. And the last point is agree with the Lord and obey. Don't shrink back. Stand firm. In Joshua 6:2-5, and we talked a little bit about this earlier, and I'm going to read it to you guys. It says, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat. They obeyed to the letter of the word of the Lord what God had given them to do. Have you obeyed to the letter of what the Lord has called you to do? And, you know, some of you may say, I don't exactly know what the Lord has called me to do. Okay, well, what's the last thing he told you to do that you haven't done? Just do that. And then he'll open up bigger vision, bigger instruction. He'll give you more points to follow. Remember, when you pray and you don't see something happen, this is the whole point of today. When you're praying and you don't see something happen yet, you are establishing a realm in the spirit. And I want you to picture that ring of fire and the establishing of a realm. So if you're praying for family, and you haven't seen it happen yet, you're like, nope, I'm establishing. Maybe I'm on lap 2 around the walls, but I will see them fall down because of the promise of the Lord. Because I walk in his presence. I'm in agreement with his promise by faith. I've been obedient to every instruction. I have consecrated my heart. I've forgiven everyone that I needed to. And I will see the victory of the Lord. So I'm not going to stop going around this until I see the walls fall. You know, maybe you're needing victory in area of your finances. Well, one thing that you can do that opens the windows of heaven is start tithing. You know, if you're needing breakthrough, you can obey what the Bible says about giving. And so go around. It's like, I'm going to give. I haven't seen breakthrough yet. I've been started tithing a year ago. I haven't seen breakthrough yet. But the promise of the Lord is that he will open the windows of heaven for me. And he will rebuke the devourer for my sake. So I'm going to do this one thing until I see victory. And I'm going to claim the promise of the Lord in my life in that area. Hebrews 11:30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith. We get to encircle whatever it is we're believing for breakthrough in by faith, and you will see breakthrough. I do want you guys to stand up. I'm going to have the team come forward if you would. And we're just going to open the altar for a time of ministry. We want to just come into agreement with you guys in areas that you're needing breakthrough in, whatever that might be. Like I said, family, finances, job, maybe even encounter with the Lord. But we do want to dismiss you guys for those of you that need to go. So I do want to just pray for y'all. If you would just close your eyes and put your hands out. Lord, we thank you for each and every person here. Lord, I thank you that you're establishing the word of God in their heart. Lord, and I thank you for that area that you have brought to their heart and to their mind that they are needing breakthrough in. Lord, I ask that you would bring to their remembrance a promise that you've given them in this area. And Lord, we come into agreement by faith together that we would see the walls of this area come down in their life. And Lord, if there's an area they need to consecrate or an area they need to obey, Lord, I ask that you would just bring it to their heart right now. So Lord, we thank you for breakthrough over these people. We thank you for breakthrough in this church, Lord, in each of our individual lives, Lord. And we plead the blood of Jesus over any attack of the enemy that would come to discourage or come to bring opposition in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we just thank you for your faithfulness. Amen. So we are up here. We just want to pray for you guys, an agreement for healing, for anything like that. We just want to make ourselves available to you. And then, okay. And so then if you guys need to go, you're welcome to, but they're just going to play some music and we're just going to pray for y'all. So God bless you.